Prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for this time that we have set aside, that we might gather before you, that we might gather together and learn of you, and be in your presence, and worship you. Lord, in this time we pray that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, encourage us, and make us ever more like you have made us to be. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love, and we pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. As a kid, one of my favorite things to do on a Saturday morning after watching TV until their cartoons were turned off or ran out, was to go into my room, turn on some music, dump all of my Legos all over the floor, and then just start building for hours. And so it shouldn't be surprising that as our kids are getting older, we spend some time every once in a while on a Saturday building Legos. Of course, with Kate still being a one-year-old, we don't use the little Legos. We don't even use the Duplos all that often. We use Mega Blocks, which are as awesome as they sound. They are huge rectangular blocks that you can build castles with and whatever else comes into your head. And sometimes we even use instructions with them. Of course, while they love to build and create, there's something about Legos that they love more than building. It's knocking buildings down. And just as a disclaimer, don't ever, ever believe my wife if she tells you about a story one time where she was coming up the stairs and heard me saying, "If you knock my tower down, I'll knock you down," only to hear a crash and then a soft bump of a toddling Emily landing on her bottom. That's all make-believe. Don't believe that. Anyway, now that all three can build, there's a certain art in parenting, in trying to keep the peace as different things are collected and built and then ultimately destroyed. You have to sort of protect everything being built from the general chaos that's happening all around you. You have to encourage, help build, even speedily recreate something that falls apart. In other words, in order for things to be built, not only do you need a builder, and not only did you need someone to get you those blocks in the first place, but there's also a role that we parents often play to help and protect and be present. And without this third role, nothing would remain standing. I tell you this because I think it'll provide an interesting picture of what we're going to be talking about today. So I want you to hold that visual in the back of your minds. We're going to come back to it at the end of the sermon. But first, I want to remind you of our topic today. Today, we end the first part of our summer series looking at the Holy Spirit. Though, as we've talked about, for most Christians and most churches these days, this is more the missing person of the Trinity. We sort of think we understand who God the Father is. We have some idea about who God the Son is. That's Jesus. But then when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it becomes a little bit more unclear. We get a little less comfortable with what we're talking about. And so in this first series throughout the summer, we're trying to figure out who is the Holy Spirit. The first week we talked about how he's like wind and fire and water, three images that are found throughout the scriptures used to describe him. And we talked about how, like those things, we often know that they are present by how they affect everything around them. How even just a little bit of the Holy Spirit still holds all that power and potential that the whole holds. The next week we talked about how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as our paraclete, our strong comforter, our advocate, our helping presence, our guide, with obvious implications that this probably is something we still need in our lives. Last week we looked at the Holy Spirit's holiness. How maybe he's called the Holy Spirit, not just because he's holy, which he is, but because somehow he in us make us holy. That something about having the Holy Spirit inside of us changes us, sets us apart, changes our identity, makes us, of all things, holy. And of course, this new holiness then starts to affect our actions, how we then live. Today we're going to look at one other part of the Holy Spirit's identity in hopes that we understand who the Holy Spirit is. So if you would, I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. There's going to be a lot of scriptures today. They're all going to be very short, but we're going to start with Genesis 1, 1. This is the absolute beginning of the Bible. This will describe how God does His creative and creating work, and it'll be our main passage, and we're going to come back to it a couple times today. As I read this first one, I want you to be on the lookout for an unexpected character who might make an appearance here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Amen. Our passage starts with God the Father doing a powerful, creative work, creating something out of nothing, which is difficult to say the least. If you're bored on a Saturday, I encourage you to try it. Start with nothing and make something appear. It's one of those God things that He did. That's what He did, that first verse. God created the heavens and the earth. There was nothing, then there was something. Interestingly, though, God's not alone in all this. Now, we know from the Gospel of John, which we're not going to see up there, John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." A couple of verses later, John reveals that the Word is Jesus. So really what he's saying is, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And what's more, not only was Jesus around during creation, but somehow, according to John, somehow God the Father made things through Jesus. And we just file that one under mystery or confusing. And we'll leave that for some other, we'll leave that for heaven. We can ask about that one. But if you were paying close attention to our Genesis passage, you may have also noticed there's another someone present. Someone who was hovering over the waters, over the formlessness and void. It says, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Apparently, the Holy Spirit was present over creation too. Now, at one level, I'm not really saying anything all that deep. We believe that God is one and that God is also three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's the Trinity. One God, three persons. Confusing, but it should be because it's God. And if God was simple, that would be weird. So in one sense, of course, all the members of the Trinity are present in the act of creation. That's what the Trinity is. But on a different level, we normally give God the Father most of the credit for creation and then ascribe different purposes to the other persons of the Trinity. But maybe they, being one, work together more than we think. So today we're going to look at how is the Holy Spirit involved, if at all, in creation. But there's a tricky part to this. The Holy Spirit, especially at this point in our story, likes to work behind the scenes. So while His work in creation is referenced often in the Bible, none of the references really explain much about it or give any detail. It's normally just one little verse that says, "Oh yeah, and the Holy Spirit did it too." And then it moves on. And there's nothing, there's no extra context there. So we're going to have to jump around a little bit to try and fill out this picture of how is the Holy Spirit involved in creation? Who is this Holy Spirit doing this work in Genesis? So we're going to have to flip around our Bibles a little bit. That's why there were so many verses listed. Before we start flipping around, though, there's a tool that I need you to be equipped with that will help us as we go. The word that we translate as Spirit in the Old Testament is the Hebrew word ruach. And the word means spirit, but it also means breath, and it also means wind. So sometimes the word ruach will be referencing a wind that blows. We flew a kite because the ruach was coming through. It was just windy. Other times it's going to be talking about someone's breath. I'm having trouble with my ruach right now because of allergies that are blowing in the ruach. Other times it'll be talking about someone's spirit as opposed to someone's body, how my ruach is doing. But then on top of that, sometimes we understand it not to be talking about a spirit generally, but it's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. So in translating the Hebrew into our modern day English, the translators have to use context to decide whether they're talking about wind or breath or spirit or the spirit, since all those English words come from the same Hebrew word. In other words, you could just as easily translate our passage to say that the breath of God was hovering over the waters, or the wind of God was hovering over the waters. Luckily, the translators do an amazing job, and they tend to get it right. And in this case, we learn that it really is the Holy Spirit that we're talking about. But you need to know that all of that imagery is tied together in that Hebrew word. Because you'll see, sometimes there'll be a spirit, and there'll be a breath, and there'll be a wind, and it's all kind of tied together a little bit. Because it is. So, equipped with that tool, let's start by trying to draw out what was the Holy Spirit doing in creation. And to do that, I would encourage you to turn to Psalm 104, verse 29. Psalm 104, 29 and 30. This is speaking of God the Father. And it says, when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. So, when God takes away their breath or their spirit, they die. But Lord, when you send your spirit, they are created, and the land is renewed. So first, right off again, we see that breath-spirit imagery all in this passage. But more than that, when the Lord sends his spirit, creation and renewal take place. There's something about the Spirit of God being present and even being sent that is involved in creation and renewal. Another example that won't be on the screen is Job 33:4. It says, The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. So again, we see this. There's something about the Spirit that does some creating. It does some making. Something about the Holy Spirit that is creative and creating. The Holy Spirit brings forth order from chaos. The Holy Spirit somehow executes God's creative power on earth. And I can't help but wonder if we still need this creative power at work in our lives today. Still working to make us new. Still working to breathe new life into us. Especially because most of us sometimes are living lives that can become a little bit myopic and mundane. Sometimes we live in ways that we settle for just the way things are. Sometimes we simply are going through the motions. And I wonder if we need the Holy Spirit to bring his creative power into our lives afresh today. But let's dig deeper. Let's go back to our Genesis passage and look more specifically at where the Holy Spirit is. Genesis tells us that the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Two things to note here. First, the state of the world at this point is formless and void and dark and deep. Those aren't good words. those all have a bit of ominousness to them. There's a bit of chaos there. There's a wildness to them. These are not goodness kinds of words. The second thing to note is that the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. In other words, God wasn't done after verse 1. Verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then he wasn't done. He didn't stop, he didn't rush, he didn't abandon creation. But he sent his Spirit to be present over and in creation while he continues to create. God sent his Holy Spirit to be over the formlessness and emptiness and darkness and deepness, present over the chaos. But I want to expand that imagery. If you would, look in your Bibles at Deuteronomy 32, 10 and 11. Again, we're all over the Bible today, but there's just that's how this sermon came out. So Deuteronomy 32, 10 and 11. This is speaking of the Exodus, not creation. But I want you to pay attention to the language that they use. Deuteronomy 32, 10. In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. These are Moses' words, and they're describing both Jacob in the desert and Israel in the desert. Both Jacob and the Israelites were in a bad place, a formless place, a voided place, a howling waste. And yet, they are found, they are shielded, they are cared for. They are guarded, they are caught, they are carried. And why? Because the Lord was hovering over them, like an eagle hovering over the young in its nest. Even more interestingly, this is the same language from Genesis, that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the chaotic waters. Now, just as an aside, because we're kind of talking about Genesis, we're not going to get into the creation versus evolution types of thing, because today's sermon's about the Holy Spirit and not about all that stuff. But it paints a picture. Especially if you believe that God created through more of an evolutionary model. If that's you, you believe that there was a primordial soup with some water and methane and ammonia and hydrogen, and it was all kind of floating around. And it was floating around in the midst of a world that had dangerous volcanoes spewing forth their lava and bolts of lightning rending the clouds and earthquakes that were literally moving continents. And this was the chaotic planet, that there was this little bit of water with some stuff in it. And all the while, the Spirit was hovering over the waters, protecting them and guarding them and stirring them and helping bring forth life. Either way, regardless of how you believe it did happen, Genesis is clear that God did it and the Spirit was present over the deeps and the darks, hovering over them like an eagle over its young, protecting and caring for. I wonder if we still need the Holy Spirit to hover over us, to find us in our wilderness, protect us, even carry us. Because sometimes it seems to me our lives end up in the wilderness too. Sometimes we get news that's not so good. We feel like our lives have become formless and void. We feel like our lives have become overly chaotic. I wonder how it would change us to know that the Spirit of God was hovering over us. Of course, the most amazing part of all of this is that maybe, just maybe, all of this is pointing at a deeper identity that the Spirit embodies. It seems like there's something about the Spirit that breathes life into us. It seems like the Spirit is the one who extends God's presence into creation. The Spirit is the one who nurtures and brings more life out of creation. And it's interesting that the first few days of creation, we didn't read the whole first chapter of Genesis, but the first few days of creation, God speaks and things snap into existence. God spoke, it was. God said, let there be light, psh, there's light. But then if you look at that first chapter of Genesis, as creation continues into the later days, it starts saying things like, God has the land bring forth vegetation. The waters bring forth life. And it was so, and it was good. I wonder if this is where the Spirit really gets involved in the creative work. The Spirit nurtures and matures creation to draw out new creation, to renew creation. In fact, for our final passage, we're going to look at Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. Titus 3, 4 and 7. It reads thus. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We have been saved by rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus poured out on us generously. You see, there's something about the Spirit that is in the recreating business, the renewing business. Part of his role is to take what God has created and nurture it and make it all it could be, all that God made it originally to become. I wonder if we still need the Holy Spirit to be doing his renewing and recreating work in our lives. Because sometimes we become content with the way things are. We lose hope that we or our world can change because sometimes we simply become lazy and apathetic. I wonder how the Holy Spirit can renew and recharge and remake even us today. Which brings us all the way back to where we began. I want to return to that image we began with, the image of me and my kids building Legos on a Saturday morning. Strikes me that one of the rules that's necessary to create a grand structure, a castle or something, is that God the Father rule. There's an initial creative work that needs to happen. Someone needs to make Legos appear in our house. Someone has to buy them from the store. Someone has to mold those little pieces of plastic. Maybe even there needs to be some design that comes with it in the form of instructions. And in our analogy today, that's either us parents who buy those Legos or the good people of Lego who make those Legos. From there, you need someone to fill that Jesus role. You need someone to actually do the building. And again, in our story, that's my kids, Emily, Jack, or Kate. But then there's a third role that's needed to make something worth having. Because remember, it's my job to hover over the chaos, to be present, to protect and to assist and to provide, and sometimes even to recreate and renew as I see something actually that needs a better foundation, so otherwise that one's going to fall, and hold on, I need to stop that one from falling into your tower. That third role is important to help creation as well. And the crazy part about this is that this is still the Holy Spirit's role in our lives today. That God has created all the parts and potential necessary for us to become who he wants us to be. That Jesus has done and is doing the necessary work to allow us to become a people of generosity and joy, of peace and purpose, of faithfulness and love. But then over it all, the Holy Spirit still hovers over the chaos of our lives. Over the things that don't go our way. Over the news that's not so good. Over the busyness and the stress and the disorder of life. He hovers over all of that and continues to shield and shape us, to remake us and renew us, to create in us and care for us, so that we might become all God has made us to be. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your creative work, that in the beginning you created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Lord, we thank you for your Son who was present, through whom you made the heavens and the earth, through whom you made all that is created. But Lord, today especially, we thank you for that Holy Spirit who hovers over creation and who hovers over us. That in the midst of our wilderness, in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our chaos, you are hovering over us, calling forth life, calling forth renewal, calling forth hope. That you are even now recreating, remaking, and maturing us into the image of Christ. So, Lord, we thank you. And we pray you would continue to do a good work in all of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we continue in worship.